My guest this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. He represents the Old Dominion's 9th Congressional District, and he is a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. If you're unfamiliar with exactly where the 9th Congressional District is, it's in the southwestern part of the state of Virginia and is definitely prime coal country. We want to get the Congressman's thoughts today on a new EPA rule that most folks knew was coming. It imposes pretty significant restrictions on new coal-fired power plants, basically requiring them to reduce their emissions by about half. And many fear that those same restrictions could be coming to existing coal-fired power plants as well. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
What's the impact of this on not only your district, but coal-fired power plants and those about to come online?
Well, I don't think there'll be any new coal-fired power plants built anytime soon. Because of these regulations, they're clearly designed to eliminate coal as a source of power for generating electricity. And, of course, that's the new ones coming on. Right now, the administration says that this doesn't apply to the existing coal-fired power plants. But for it to really have any impact, I believe that when the president has more flexibility, say after the election, you will see his administration and his EPA start applying it to, if not all coal-fired power plants, a fair number of them. And then you'll see prices go up on electricity. You will see jobs reduced in this country. I think it's going to be devastating. And I think that's what they're laying out. The plan is ultimately is to apply this to existing plants as well.
Is it remotely feasible for coal plants to meet these new conditions?
No, it isn't. I mean, theoretically, if I was writing science fiction somewhere out in the future, yes, it's possible, but it's highly unlikely, and certainly not any time in the next decade will we see any new coal-fired power plants if these regulations are allowed to stand.
Talk a little bit about what's known as clean coal technology. The concept certainly has been out there, and I don't know that a lot of folks know a lot about it. Is that something that's at the point where it could comply soon, or are these regulations even more restrictive than what we're expecting out of clean coal technology?
I believe that these regulations are even more than what we can expect from clean coal technology. We have a new facility that just opened up recently, and I do not believe that it could meet these requirements. And it's the cleanest plant in the country right now.
Let's talk a little bit about the regulatory process. To what extent is this legitimate, in your opinion, that the EPA can do this? I know a lot of these ideas, certainly what's being pursued in this particular regulation, was part of the old cap and trade bill, which ultimately didn't pass on Capitol Hill. So how much authority do you think the EPA has to do this, justified or not?
Well, I don't think it's justified. I think they can make an argument. Sometimes they can't. In this case, they can make an argument if you believe that greenhouse gases were supposed to be covered under the Clean Air Act, and if you believe that greenhouse gases, particularly carbon dioxide, are in fact a threat to human health, then they have some regulatory authority. But even the EPA has acknowledged that they can't apply the rules under the Clean Air Act to carbon dioxide without basically adding another 230,000 employees and spending an additional $21 billion per year. Now, right now, their budget is $8 billion, and they want another $21 billion if they have to fully enforce the rules. So they decided they weren't going to enforce the rules against everybody, but they targeted first these electric generation plants. I think it sends a bad signal for businesses who are trying to figure out whether or not they can locate in an area that is heavily reliant on coal for its electric power, such as Southwest Virginia. I think it says to those businesses, we better go somewhere else, and that somewhere else often means foreign country.
Is there anything you can do about it?
Well, I think there is, particularly if the president doesn't have much flexibility after the election. If he's not reelected, I think there are a lot of things we can do. We do have some Democrats in the Senate who understand how devastating this is. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia is on the warpath, as am I, and I believe that we can roll back these regulations. We may need a few more votes in the Senate, and we certainly need a new White House.
We're talking with Virginia Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. And, sir, let's talk about impact now in your district in particular and beyond, if you have a good estimation of that. Let's talk about jobs that either could be lost if the administration does, in fact, apply these restrictions to existing power plants eventually, and, of course, potential jobs that would be created if more plants were to come online but can't as a result of this.
Well, I think you have to look at the whole scheme that the president's come up with, he and Lisa Jackson at the EPA, where it really appears to many of us in Middle Appalachia that it's a war on coal. When you look at all the different Boiler Mac, Utility Mac, cross-state air, these new regs, when you look at all of those, it's having an effect on coal. And in fact, we have three in my region. We have three facilities that have either laid off workers or have idled parts of their coal production. And they will tell you, it's a big part of it is the regulatory schemes that have already been proposed and the fear of new regulations that are, you know, constantly being cooked up at the EPA. So there's no question it has an impact on coal jobs, but it goes further than that. And this is where it gets harder to explain to folks, because when you lose coal as one of your major sources for electric generation, the price of electricity goes up. Every business uses electricity. That makes every business in the United States less competitive against its world competitors. And so what happens is that our goods become more expensive compared to Chinese or Indonesian or you name it. We're going to lose sales. We're going to lose jobs there, too. And every time we lose one of those jobs, there are other jobs that are impacted in the community, because the people who are selling the cars to the folks who used to work at the coal company or at the power plant that's shutting down or at the, you name it, business that can't make it because their electric bill has killed them, then those people end up being impacted and those jobs disappear. And so we're in a downward cycle based on regulations coming out of this administration in the creation of new high-paying jobs. And unless we can get some changes through Congress or some changes in the White House, this cycle will continue. We'll be flat to negative, I think, until we get some new people.
Do you have any specific estimations about what businesses or even individuals in their homes could see in terms of percentage rate increases in power bills?
Well, on this one, it doesn't, because it only affects new power plants.
Right.
There's no way to put an estimate on it. Now, if they started putting it on old power plants, we'd have to work up some numbers. But let's look at Utility MACT. Utility MACT, according to AEP, that services a big chunk of my district, is going to cost 10 to 15% more in electric power because of the Utility MACT rule that came out last year. Those are new regulations on coal-fired electric plants. So, you know, we're looking at 10 to 15% with what they've already proposed. You put this one on top of it, who knows where we end up. But, you know, the American families and the American businesses cannot afford to continue for people to think that, well, you know, well, they can afford that 10 to 15% increase, or they can afford 20% increase. It's just not feasible, and I just don't know what ivory tower the advisors to the president are living in. It's very disturbing.
Last question, what are you hearing from your constituents on this, and what are you telling them?
Well, I'm telling them the same things I'm telling you. And what I'm hearing is that they're just very concerned about all of the different aspects of this administration's war on coal and other regulations that affect businesses negatively, and it creates an uncertainty out there, and somebody who's trying to start a new business is not as likely to do so at this point in time because they just don't know where we're going. There may be new regulations in another 3 or 4 months, but when you start rattling off 3, 4, 5 major regulations that have come down the pike in the last year to 14 months, it's very scary for business. You know, the Obama administration loves to say, well, we haven't had that many new regulations. But what they don't like to tell people is that, you know, compared to the Bush administration, Bush might have proposed a peanut. The Obama administration proposes an elephant. Obama counts the elephant as one and the peanut as one. Well, if you're a business having to deal with the issue, you'd much rather deal with that peanut than have to deal with a herd of elephants.
Congressman, we thank you very much for your time today.
Hey, thank you so much.
Virginia Congressman Morgan Griffith, Republican from his state's 9th Congressional District, member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.